Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Lord, what must these rewards be that you speak of them such? That you speak of them over and over, and you mention them, and you talk about them in ways that make it sound like they should just be enough to motivate us to do anything. Suffer persecution, be beaten and maligned and even killed for your name. In the face of these rewards, we should rejoice and be glad. What must these rewards be like? Lord, we can't imagine, literally can't imagine, which is why we need faith. Lord, give us the faith. Give it this morning through your word. You said that faith comes through hearing. I pray, Lord, that we would hear your word proclaimed this morning and taught, and faith would result, believing more than we believe right now. Lord, I can't do that. You know I can't do that, and nobody can do that. It's the work of your Spirit. It's an act of sovereign grace. It's a gift we just can only beg for. And yet you said you're pleased to give it. And so we do beg. We ask you, Lord, with all the earnestness that we can muster in our souls, please, let this be a morning where you would open our eyes to your word and let us see the grace, the glory, the wonders of your truths, and that we would be able to believe in these promises. I pray this in the name of the one who purchased these promises for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you give to the needy, do not announce with trumpets as the hypocrites do. Verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Verse 16, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites do. It's all about avoiding hypocrisy. And in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the solution for that. He gives us a solution for imitation righteousness. The solution to the problem of hypocrisy is reward, living for reward. And I want to be very clear on this point because many today, even within the church, are teaching that living for reward is a bad thing. It's sort of a sub-Christian motive. They say that it's crass, you know, and it's shallow, and it's cheap, and it's selfish. They say you should do good for good's sake alone, just for the sake of virtue alone, not to get anything out of it for yourself. You shouldn't do it for personal gain. And there are a lot of Bible teachers that teach this. But it's an idea that came not from the Bible, but from human philosophy, particularly that of Kant. Kant taught that the highest moral virtue is when you do something good and get nothing out of it. He said that's the key. And what Kant and the people who follow him failed to understand is that the morality of an act is not related to whether or not there's a reward, nor is it related to whether your motive is to get reward. The issue is what reward motivates you. Everybody does everything they do for some kind of a reward. The issue is what kind of reward will motivate you. What are you trying to get? And that's the point Jesus is making in this chapter. He doesn't say don't seek reward. He says don't seek reward from the wrong source. Instead, seek it from the right source. And if Jesus commands something, then it's good and holy and righteous and virtuous and not in any sense tainted or sub-Christian. If he says seeking reward is good, it's good. In fact, if people who say you should do good just for good's sake, they should live for reward too, because Jesus said living for reward is good, and so they should do that just for good's sake. You can't get away from it. Living for reward is not only acceptable, it's essential, it's mandatory for the Christian. So if one person does good just for virtue's sake and doesn't care about reward from heaven, and a second person does the same deed because he wants reward from heaven, the first person is sinning, and the second person is doing what's right. It is more virtuous to be motivated by reward from God than to be motivated by virtue for virtue's sake. Reward has always been one of the chief motives that God has offered to his people. Psalm 19, for example, tells us to obey God's word because it revives the soul and it makes you wise and it gives joy to your heart and gives light to your eyes. And it's in keeping it is great reward. And those kinds of benefits should motivate us. If those don't have any impact, they don't even tug on your heart, something's wrong with your heart. And if God promises them, whether that motivates us or not is a surefire test of whether we have faith or not, whether we believe. Kant couldn't have been more wrong. He was the opposite, 180 degrees off. He said it's less virtuous to be motivated by reward. Jesus taught that it's sin not to be motivated by God's promises of reward. In fact, if you don't think of God as a rewarder, you can't even be saved. You can't even come to him. You can't even be a Christian. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You have to think of God that way or you're not even coming to the true God. Being motivated by a promise of reward that you have never seen, this reward, you don't have any brochures, any photographs, no descriptions of it, you don't know what it's going to be like, we have nothing to go on except God telling us, trust me, it'll be good. That's all we have. And so living for reward is a mark. If that motivates you, if just that is enough to motivate you, that proves you have faith. You believe what God says. And so that's why it's a solution to hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is always a symptom of unbelief. It's a faith problem. Living for man's approval is just ignoring it. It's like kind of practical atheism. When we're behaving, what we're doing when we do that is we're behaving as though God isn't even there, right? I mean, think about our religious phoniness. You can't do that if you have an awareness of God's presence. Imagine, let me give you an illustration. Imagine you're a crook who decides you want to impersonate a police officer. And so you buy a uniform, you get a badge, you get yourself into the police station, you got everybody fooled. You're even driving police cars around, or arresting your friends, or your enemies, whatever, not your friends. You got this whole thing going. And one day, you're in the police station, in your office, talking on the phone, talking to a friend of yours, and you're telling him about this whole scam you're running. And sitting right there in your office, while you're talking to your friend, is the police chief. He can't believe he's there. He's like, does he know I'm here? And before you even have time to hang up the phone, you're being led away in handcuffs. That's what it's like when we do our religious phoniness. We're pulling this Oscar-winning performance, impersonating a spiritual person, pretending to be devoted to God, and all the whole time God is... hello, I'm right here. I can see what you're doing. It's impossible to do that unless you either don't believe that God exists or you've just completely forgotten about him. Right? The guy impersonating the police officer would never expose himself right in front of if the police chief is sitting right there in the room. And we would never carry on as religious phonies if we had an awareness of the presence of God.
Take a moment to think of one of God's promises of reward. Think about it, meditate on it, and talk to God about it until you feel motivated by it. Return to it as many times as you can today so that the godly things you do today honor God more because they're motivated by his promise of reward rather than honoring you because you're being a good person just to be a good person. When you obey God, it already honors him, but let it honor him more by having that good deed motivated by his promises of reward.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.